Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Jackie Berger, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over New York City know that we need to change our food system, and they want to help make that change, but so often people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to some people who have started, taking their passions and skills to bring change. Hopefully their stories will help inspire you to create your own Just Food story. So today's guests are Greg Anderson, the City Farms Program Manager at Just Food. Greg comes to Just Food after having been a partner of ours. He started working with Just Food in 2008 when he led his effort to bring chickens to the Walt El Shamel Community Garden in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And that same year, he became a trainer for Just Food through the City Farms program. So since then, he's been giving workshops on chicken care, soil health, cover crops, and built more than 20 of our City Chicken Project coops. He's also co-facilitated and now leads the Training of Trainers course, and he's been doing that since 2009. And finally, Greg became a part of the Just Food staff family 2 years ago in January 2012. Also with us today is Lauren Brown. She is the Community Garden Coordinator for Cypress Hills Local Development Corporation, and she's a longtime lover of urban agriculture and urban chickens. She works with a group of youth and gardeners at the People's Garden in East New York to care for a flock of 28 hens, that's right, and provide lots of eggs and entertainment for the neighborhood. So hi there to both of you, and welcome to Just Food Stories.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Greg, I want to get started with you. Raising chickens is nothing new in New York City, and I want to get into that. But first, let's hear a little bit about you. How did you get into growing food in the first place?
Well, it started in my childhood. I'm from Selma, Alabama, and my family had a family farm. And when I became a teenager and started getting in trouble, you know, the first thing my mom did was start sending me out to my family's farm every summer, you know, to give me something to do. So I would help my cousin, who was like my grandmother's age, you know, and his name was Buster Brown Bishop.
Stop it.
I love it.
That's great.
You know, he was named after a shoe. So I would, you know, follow him around on the farm and do whatever task he would have me do. And he started me out with the chickens and the pigs. That was my job, was to get up every morning, and we called it slopping the pigs, you know, and feeding the chickens and collecting the eggs.
So since you were doing this to get you out of trouble, your family was sending you off to the farm, did you hate it? Did you love it immediately? What was your reaction as a kid?
I hated it. You know, Selma is a small town, you know, so it's not too much of a difference from being out in a rural area, you know. But I didn't want to be out in the dirt and the hot sun, you know. I wanted to be hanging out with my friends, you know. But after, I guess, the second season of going out, I started loving it.
What do you think flipped the switch for you from, like, hating having to do this sweaty, dirty, smelly work to being like, no, this is awesome. I love this.
Right. I think it's the animals. For me, it was the animals. I learned that, you know, animals have character, you know, they have personality, you know, and so it's easy to fall in love with them. You know, plus he had like maybe 10 dogs, you know, and they would just follow me around everywhere I went, you know. So what's not to love about that?
No,
you know?
That sounds like a lot of fun. So how did you, when you moved to New York City, how did you get involved in growing food in the city or in the garden in New York City? And how did you start to make that connection?
I think it was memory. Mm-hmm. You know, I moved to New York in the late 80s. So I had family here, so I wasn't alone, you know. But it was always something missing, you know. And I was living in the Bronx with my father, and I would hear roosters crow all the time, you know. So I think that started the what some people call ancestor memory, you know. I think that clicked it, you know, and I started missing, you know, working with animals and being around animals and learning from animals. So I started looking for opportunities to do that.
How did that start for you? Was that your initial, because I know now you live in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, really close to the Walt El Shamel Community Garden. Was your desire to reconnect with animals what got you involved in the garden in the first place, or were you already involved with the garden?
No, that need to be around animals actually kicked in years before that. But then once me and my wife started looking for a house to buy, I knew the area, you know, because I have family in the area. And so once I saw the garden and how close it was to the house, it's only like three houses away. And there was an old gentleman, Mr. Lenny, we called him, that kind of took care of the whole block, you know, and he was from Tennessee. That gave me something to kind of latch onto, something that was familiar to me, being around an older gentleman, you know, watching him work in the garden. So I started helping him out, you know, and that just kicked more memory up, you know, and more need to work with the earth again and be around animals. So yeah. And plus I also saw it as a way to kind of safeguard my family, give my family a place to be, you know, and to teach them things. 'Cause my wife is, you know, she was born here in New York, you know, so, she didn't have that much experience with farming or gardening, you know, so, it was like a haven that we had discovered.
So, Lauren, actually, I want to go to you now because I think I'm really excited. So, Lauren, again, works for Cypress Hills LDC, which is a local development corporation. And what's really exciting to me about that is that, you know, for many years in New York City, the folks that were doing urban gardening, urban growing, urban farming, were all groups that were here to do urban greening. And Cypress Hills LDC is a big community development corporation. They do housing, they do like all kinds of services for their community to build their community. But they've made a big move into urban agriculture and now have a wonderful chicken project that you are taking care of. But I'd love to hear, like, I feel like what Greg is getting at is kind of this overlay between having a community and making that community your home and the connection to urban agriculture. Does that resonate with sort of the bigger mission at Cypress Hills, or why is that? Why you think Cypress Hills is making this big move in urban agriculture? Or tell us about what you think.
Yeah, so the mission at Cypress Hills is to build a strong, sustainable Cypress Hills East New York community. And a lot of what we do is in response, or everything we do is in response to what residents of that community are asking for. So what kept coming up in our surveys and in our meetings with the community were, we don't have a lot of green space, we don't have access to healthy food, and we need gathering spaces. So that's how community gardens came up, and that's how it started.
But the interest and I guess it's really exciting to see a development corporation respond to the demands of a community. How do you think that's been going? How long has Cypress Hills really been working in that area? Do you know?
We've had the People's Garden, which is our current existing garden, since June 2012. Mm-hmm. So it's still a fairly new process for us.
And are there a lot of gardeners? Are there a lot of people from the community that are coming out to be a part of this garden? Has it been a lot of work to let people know that it's there and get people involved?
The garden was built by a group of community advocates, the People's Food Project, and they worked with Cypress Hills to build this garden that has 36 plots. All of them are filled between our youth program, community members, and then they also grow food that they share in these community plots and food for the chickens. So we've had a lot of community involvement, and then every time you're at the garden, you have people at the gate asking to come in and asking to see the chickens, asking for a plot. So there's a lot of enthusiasm.
Oh, good. So the Chicken Project is actually one of the ones that Just Food worked with. So this was a nice partnership between Just Food and Cypress Hills was building this Chicken Project. So what was the impetus in the community? I know this actually predates you being there, so I don't know if it's better to have Greg answer this or you, but Lauren, I'll let you try, or I'll let you start us off. Why chickens? Why were people interested in having chickens in the Cypress Hills community?
Yeah, so that came out of our meetings when we were first talking about the garden. People were asking for a chicken coop and asking to have chickens so they could have access to fresh eggs. And there's also a lot of interest in incorporating our youth program and teaching the kids how to care for chickens and to just be around animals, because I think that's something that's really missing in this huge urban environment. You're just not around animals, and you're not caring for plants, it teaches kids to care for things.
Mm-hmm. Greg, because Just Food runs an application process, so community groups, school groups apply to Just Food to start chicken projects, and then you have to wade through all these really exciting applications and pick a partner. So what was it about Cypress Hills that made you think that they would be a good place to build a chicken coop and work with that community to raise hens?
I think the main thing was they had everything in place. The community wanted the chickens, the staffing wanted the chickens. They knew what they wanted chickens for, so it was fairly easy. It was a good fit for what the community wanted, and the staffing, they also wanted the chickens. So I think it was a good fit. And plus, I knew of Cypress Hills Local Development and had wanted to work with them because I love the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're really getting the community involved and have been doing so for years, so it was a good fit, to help them move forward, So, yeah.
That's great. So I think what we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break. I know we need to leave some time for a word from our sponsor. So we're going to be right back with Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org in just a minute.
You are listening to In My Dreams by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org. Well, I lay down last night. You was resting on my mind. Just before daybreak.
The following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
But in my dreams, you all I see. Well, I took down your picture, baby. But in my
Welcome back to Just Food Stories on Heritage Radio Network. Lauren, how did you get involved in urban agriculture and chickens in the first place?
Well, I came at it from kind of a different angle. I was studying urban planning, mm-hmm. So I was looking at it from an urban planning angle and looking at all these blighted areas that we had in the city I was living in Salt Lake City. And wanting to create some sort of active green space in those areas. So I started community organizing around the space. The idea for gardens came up, and then ended up building two different garden projects and working with two others during my time living there.
As an independent citizen of Salt Lake City or with an organization, how did you go about doing that?
Yeah, I was working both with the university I was attending, and then there was a great organization there, Wasatch Community Gardens, mm-hmm. That also helped with helping us communicate with the city, get access to the lot, how structure the garden, how it would run, and then they're still managing one of the gardens that's there.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what about the livestock piece, the chicken piece? What was your first experience in working with chickens?
That just happened. I think that's how a lot of people get into it, is you're kind of working in urban agriculture, and then chickens are like the next logical step, because mm-hmm. they're a pretty easy animal to take care of. It makes sense to have them in the garden. Their manure is great for composting. They give you fresh eggs. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of downsides.
So did you have chickens at the gardens in Salt Lake City?
I had a lot of chickens at my house.
Okay. Yeah. So did you have a backyard? Or mm-hmm. And were you the one who initiated keeping chickens at your house? Or
There was a little community organizing within the house to get chickens at the house.
Yeah. Lots of community organizing mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that kind of experience something you're looking for, Greg, when you're sifting through this pile of applicants, people who want to bring chickens to their community gardens or their school gardens? How do you really evaluate how to decide, and what would you tell if there's somebody listening right now who's like, I want to bring chickens to my community. I had no idea Just Food might help me do that. What would you tell them that they should do first?
Well, the first thing you should always do is ask yourself, why do you want chickens? You know, what will the chickens bring to either your family or your community, you know, your garden, your urban farm? You know, what will be the role of the chicken?
What are some possible answers to that question?
Well, some possible answers is manure.
Mm-hmm.
The most delicious answer is eggs, mm-hmm. having fresh eggs, you know, education, you know, I believe, and studies have shown that children that are exposed and work with animals, be it a pet dog or cat, you know, or chickens, their development, seems to be, a more full developed understanding, caring mm-hmm. personality that develops with working with animals, you know. So to answer your question, why do you want chickens? What role will they play?
Okay, so once I've decided it's that, like, I really want those fresh eggs for myself and my community, or, you know, I there's a school next door and I want to bring the kids in here so that they can be exposed to living things and learn to love the chickens. Once they've decided what they want the chickens for, then what's the next step?
Then it's you're doing community outreach. You know, you're letting the larger community around your space know that you are getting chickens and why you're getting chickens and what the benefits will be, what are some of the downsides of it. You know, and you're doing the same thing if you're working with a school. You're doing the same thing with the school. You're letting them know how the chickens will fit into their programs, how it can even fit into their educational programming.
You're
kind of educating the community about chickens.
And with schools, I know it's really important. You want to get the principal on board, the people who maintain the grounds on board. You know, if you leave out any one of those key players, you could run into trouble down the road. So it's really important to talk to all the key stakeholders in a school. But both of you have done this community organizing piece before starting or around starting a chicken project. What are some tips you can share? What makes it easier to have this conversation with the people who might be directly affected by a project like that?
Okay. I think a big part of it is getting people to meet chickens. And again, like making sure that's something that they want and familiarizing them with the animal. And then I feel like usually there's someone in the community that's really enthusiastic about the project, whether it's chickens or building a garden or doing anything, and letting them kind of take the lead and talk to their friends and talk to their neighbors. Because you do need a lot of people on board to care for chickens. It's a year-round activity, and you really have to be enthusiastic.
And you want to share that responsibility out. You know, that's why it's also very important to, if you're not educated about chickens and the caring of for chickens, that's your next step, is to educate yourself and then pass that gift on to the community, educate the community, and find out who else want to be directly involved with the chickens and help them get educated, you know. And there are a lot of places now where you can get this education. Just Food runs a meetup group, you know. You can join the meetup group. You can
And I just want to say that's the City Chicken Meetup. If you put that into your search engine, you'll find a whole community of urban chicken keepers and chicken keeping enthusiasts here in New York City that you can connect with.
Yes. And chicken keepers love educating people about chickens and just talking about chickens. We get very excited about that.
Almost anywhere you are in New York City, well, there's a whole list on Just Food's website of different places that there are chicken projects, so there might be one in your neighborhood or at a school nearby that you can go and visit and start to learn about the hens. And any chicken project is always looking for more helping hands. So that'll be welcome. So when we talk about keeping chickens, is it hard to do? I mean, you guys were talking about the year-round commitment of it. That's important to think about. Like, they don't disappear when you go on vacation. They're still really active in the wintertime. We just had this cold snap. What did people do for their chickens during that really cold snap?
I just do what I always do, and that's let the chickens, you know, do what they do. You know, and that's... they prepare for winter by growing down feathers, molting, we call it. A molt, when a chicken molts, they drop their summer feathers, and then they grow down feathers and their winter feathers. And then they just need to be kept out of the wind, the rain, or snow, you know, so a coop, you know, have a coop for them. And that's basically it. And have enough chickens where they can keep each other warm.
So even the coldest days that we just had, when it was down in the single digits, you, both of you, your coops, the chickens did okay?
Yeah, ours, we have 28, so they, I mean, that number is working to our benefit.
They kind of just like huddled together.
Yeah, but one problem we do run into, and that I see a lot of other people run into, is the water freezes. So... both in the cold winters and the really hot summers, you have to be really on top of the water and make sure the chickens always have access to water. So we'll have people go, like on that day, there were people there 4 or 5 times changing the water.
Oh, wow, because it kept on freezing so fast.
And that's another reason to have a community project, you know, or a family project, and get your neighbors involved, is to help out with activities like that of, you know, keeping the water from freezing.
So share the work, but also then share the reward, right?
Yes.
So tell us about these eggs. Are they different from what you get in the grocery store? What do you think of the eggs that your chickens are laying for you?
Yeah, definitely different. Each hen lays a different kind of egg. We have light blue eggs, green eggs, brown eggs. A lot of them are a lot bigger, a lot smaller. I think they taste a lot better. They're definitely fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And you can kind of control that flavor, you know, through giving the chickens a healthy diet. You know, if you have laying hens, ensure that you have a good feed, layer feed, it's called. And it comes in pellet forms or in a, what do you call it, a mash.
Okay. So what do you get, what do your chickens like to eat the best?
Green food. They love vegetables and fruits. Watermelon is one of their favorite summer treats.
Uh-huh.
And plain yogurt.
Really?
Yes, they love yogurt. They go crazy over yogurt. Have you given your chickens yogurt?
No? I haven't, no, but they are, they eat a lot of stuff. If they're out roaming around, they forage and they eat different seeds and bugs and they're kind of opportunistic feeders, so they really like getting a variety. So providing the layer pellets ensures that they get all the nutrients they need, and then providing other greens and other table scraps is also a good option.
So how did you manage them in the garden? I guess if they really love green growing things, you can't just let them run all over the garden in the summertime, or can you? Or how do you do it?
Well, there are different ways, and you know, every project that I've been involved with is slightly different. I let my chickens at Walt L. Schimmel, I let them roam freely in the summertime, but I do have to keep them out of the raised beds,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they also have a run that's attached to their coop. And a run is a fenced-in area where the chickens can just hang out during the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then every morning we let them out of the run into the larger garden for a few. And in the winter time, it's great because they can always dig in the raised beds and eat any bugs or pests that's hibernating in your bed.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Pest control, isn't it?
They let
the chickens eat those grubs and things like that.
Yeah.
Makes the garden healthier every year.
Right, right. Especially like the white fly eggs. White flies is a pest that I think a lot of urban farmers and growers have experience with. They attach to your collard greens or your broccoli, and
mm-hmm.
Once the population explodes, it's hard to control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but chickens can help out by doing the non-growing season.
That's so,
you know,
great.
They can eat the eggs before they develop.
What about predators? Have you guys run into trouble with anything coming in and getting the chickens? And what do you do to avoid that?
Yeah.
We haven't had any trouble, but we do have a pretty secure coop.
Mm-hmm.
In other places that I've lived, I have had a lot of problems with raccoons getting in and other animals that can just take out the whole flock.
Yeah. I think living in the city, people might not realize that predation can be a problem, but we've got feral cats and raccoons and hawks and owls and I don't know if there's other kinds.
Or possums. But, you know, possums can be a problem in the city also.
Will they take the eggs or will they get the chickens?
They mostly go after the chickens, you know, unfortunately. And a raccoon can do a lot of damage. They say that if a toddler, a three-year-old human, can get into the area, so can a raccoon.
Okay.
You know, they don't have opposable thumbs, but they are very clever, and they will watch you and see what you do, and then they will come back and mimic that movement.
Mm-hmm.
To try to open up the coop.
Yeah, but I know that Just Food's coop design has really evolved to make sure that it's much more secure with the fencing going all the way on the bottom and all the way on the top, so that when they're in those runs and they're in the coop, they're safe.
Yes, yes. It's very important to understand that some predators dig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one thing that we do is we would dig down about a foot, mm-hmm. and lay chicken wire under the ground and cover that wire up. You know, and attach it to the side walls of the run, you know, so that way anything that digs can't come up inside of the run.
That's great.
You know, and it's also very important to have a secure coop, mm-hmm. you know. And we use padlocks mostly because just a single latch, you know, is really not enough, mm-hmm. you know, because unfortunately we also have two-legged predators in this in the city, you know,
right.
Which is not really a large problem because in most communities, once people see the chickens, a lot of times they bring like childhood memories back, you know, so they fall in love with the chickens and then they kind of become that protector, you know, of the chickens also.
That's such a good, I'm afraid that's where we have to stop, and I love that that's a nice note to stop on. So I'm afraid that's all we have time for, but I want to thank you so much, Greg and Lauren. Thank you so much for coming. I want to thank Evan DeVito for managing today's show. I hope that everything that we've talked about today is helpful, and I hope we've encouraged a lot more chicken keepers out there. You can always find this archived on Just Food Stories archived on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you so much and see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.